I want to take note of the fact that fortunately we have four priests here. I should say five priests at the Mount right now, which is very unusual. Father James will be offering the 9:30 Mass at the rectory because we can't obviously accommodate the 9:30 Mass today with the procession. But I am very grateful to my fellow priests who are acting as the clergy for this holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we're able to have what I didn't realize. Father Anaya suggested it to me because he was going to be here, to have a solemn High Mass. And of course, we want to do that for our Lord, to go all out to honor him on this day in which we celebrate with all festivity possible the most holy sacrament of the altar. Reverend Fathers, venerable religious, dear parishioners, I came across a short list, very inspiring list, just three items. There definitely could be more, but at least three, of why our Lord chose bread and wine to convert into his most sacred body and blood. These three reasons, or three, yes, I guess we can call them reasons. First, are out of many grains of wheat comes the one loaf. Or in the case of the unleavened bread used for Holy Communion, it's a flat sheet, but it is truly bread. Out of many grains, one loaf, one sheet is produced before the consecration. Out of many grapes comes forth that container of wine. And this is deeply significant, and I'll explain. The second reason why our Lord chose bread and wine is because of the transformative process that wheat and grapes undergo. I didn't really think about this when I was listening to these reasons, but they have to be completely crushed. The grains of wheat are ground between two stones or two steel or metal cylinders, completely crushed. And the grapes are put into the vat, and they have to be completely crushed. In the olden days, the winemakers would climb in there with their bare feet and just mash away. There's great significance in this too. And the third reason why our Lord chose bread and wine is because of the substantial nourishment that both offer. If you had to, at least for a while, you could live off of bread and wine. I know some people have allergies to gluten. They couldn't do it. But for most people, there's a substantial nourishment. It's a substantial part of people's cuisine. You think of especially the Mediterranean countries, the bread, the wine. So what's the significance of these three reasons? And as I said, more could be adduced. The first one, where many out of many grains and many grapes comes forth this unified loaf or container of wine, that very powerfully shows the unity of the mystical body of Christ. This is the church, the community of those who believe all of Christ's teachings, not just some of them, all of them, and are incorporated into the mystical body of Christ through baptism, Think about that. Think of how many millions and billions across the centuries of those that were baptized of all different races, of all different backgrounds, of all different temperaments, of all kinds of nationalities. They're brought together, united into the one true church of Jesus Christ. St. Thomas says the res sacramenti of the Holy Eucharist is the greater union with you and Christ, and you with your fellow members of the mystical body of Christ. That's the purpose of this sacrament. Each sacrament has a purpose. Each one has a sacramental grace. Baptism makes us members of the church. Confirmation, which we just were privileged to see this past Friday, makes soldiers of Christ. The purpose of penance is to forgive our sins, cleanse our souls. The purpose, the res sacramenti of the Holy Eucharist, is to strengthen our union with Christ and therefore with the other members of the mystical body of Christ. Isn't that beautiful to reflect upon through that spiritual food that it is? This is the only true unity that can be had for the human race. The Freemasons talk about the brotherhood of man. And by the way, we hear that a lot from the modern Vatican II Church. But it will not succeed because it's divorced from the fatherhood of God and it's divorced from the one true church founded by Jesus Christ. There is real unity. Out of all of those many things brought into one, again, this is the significance. One of the significances of Holy Communion, all those grains of wheat and grapes being brought together to make this one production. Think about all the Catholics you know. What makes us one? Why are we here together? Because we have this unity of faith that is nourished by the most sacred body and blood of our Lord. There is the only real hope for unity. You can't have brotherhood without the fatherhood. And the Freemasonic idea of human fraternity will never work because, again, it's based on denial of Christ, of his church, of the fatherhood of God. But this is very much present. And yes, we are united with people we may not even like. But you see, supernatural love transcends merely human feelings of like or dislike. We are united in the bonds of faith and of true charity. How wonderful this significance of the many grains being and the grapes being brought into one. The second significance, the transformative process, the crushing that the wheat and grapes have to go through. Does this not speak most powerfully of our Lord being crushed in his sufferings and death? No wonder St. Paul says in today's epistle, whenever you eat of this bread and drink of this chalice, you show the death of the Lord. The modern mass of Vatican II got rid of, for the most part, the idea of the death of the Lord. It's more about the meal. But St. Paul says, you show the death of the Lord. St. Ignatius of Antioch was inspired very much by this. When he was being taken from Antioch to Rome to be martyred, he wrote in one of his epistles, I long to be crushed and ground by the wild beasts that will devour me. He was united with our Lord, and he wanted to be crushed through his sufferings and death, to be united to our Lord's suffering and death. And he said that I may be made a pure bread for the Lord. My dear brethren, our sufferings in life, some of them are great indeed. They seem to feel like they're crushing. Know that we are being ground spiritually into a better substance, a holier person, through the sufferings of life. And we unite with our Lord, again, he who was crushed in his sufferings and death. The third significance, the substantial nourishment that bread and wine offer. You know, our Lord could have made something else to be our primary spiritual food. Could have made it some kind of a very special substance. You know, you eat it, you get stronger, you grow spiritually from that. We know what happens with human food, right? It's transformed into our bodily substance. The nutrition that we have in our food makes for the healthier body. Of course, junk food doesn't help, does it? It puts poor nourishment into us. But spiritually, our Lord wanted us to be nourished. And the greatest nourishment he could think of was not just some special kind of substance to give us. He wanted to be our food himself. Doesn't that sound too good to be true? But it's true because he said so. We make that act of faith. That's how much he loves us. He wants to be our spiritual food. This is why he is called, St. Thomas calls him the holy pelican. Because the thinking about the pelican, I don't know if it's really true biologically or scientifically, that the pelican will eat of its own flesh and its blood and give it to its young. At least that was the thinking of what they do. So that is why the pelican is sometimes used as a symbol of the Holy Eucharist. So I wanted to share these with you, my dear brethren. And again, the festivity of this day is to help us to renew, revitalize, and to keep growing in our love for the most holy sacrament of the altar. Realize that in every Holy Communion, there is an infinite amount of grace available. Now, you can't receive all of it. How do you receive an infinite amount? But because it's our Lord, there's an infinite amount. So it only depends on our dispositions. The better disposed we are, the more grace we receive. Try to make each Holy Communion as devoutly and fervently as you can. In each Holy Communion will be another jewel in your heavenly crown, but it will shine only to the extent that you made it a well-prepared for and well-thanked for Holy Communion. May our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament bestow his greatest blessings and graces upon you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.